Should shows like Knuckles just be for kids? We answer that question and more this week on Only Stupid Answers. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. This is the show where we answer your questions about movies, TV shows, comic books, Knuckles, and so much more. I'm your host, DJ Wooldridge. With me, as always, is Roxy Stryer. Hello, Roxy.
Hello, DJ.
We're about ready to do one of your favorite topics, which is video games.
Okay, but really, we're going to do one of my favorite topics, television. It just doesn't play the same.
It just doesn't play the same, but also we'll do some talk about video games because that's the era we're entering, is the era of the game adaption. Roxy, what games are you playing right now?
Gym for Your Heart.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Georgina and the Chimps.
Yep.
Which is a wild one if you haven't made it. That's an open world.
Yeah.
Where the chimps actually are the good guys and Georgina is the bad. I mean, that twist was crazy. I don't know if you got there yet. I'm playing pretty fast.
Yeah.
And Lions, Tigers, and Bears Oh My.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
Which is sad for the Lions, the Tigers, and the Bears.
And the Bears. Oh, that's the Oh My part.
Yeah. But good for you, Judy.
Yeah. Judy's the protagonist in that one.
Yeah. Garland.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. So
thank you for asking. What are you playing right now?
As I spoke in a previous episode, I've gone back and fished out Fallout New Vegas. I found myself a copy. And I've been playing that. And there was a little bit of a learning curve because I believe it's like a 14-year-old game at this point. So I had to go, like, it's just a different quality of life in gaming. But now that I'm back in the groove, oh, it feels so good to be back in a Fallout game. I'm so happy.
Is it as good as you were claiming other people claimed it was?
It is hard to say at this point because I have not reached the titular New Vegas yet. So I feel like I'm still pretty early in the game narrative, even though I've like sunk like 15 hours into it already.
How many?
I don't know. With open world games, like I can tend to clock in up to 100 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's one of those, like, I'm probably going to be playing this New Vegas game for a few months. If it's like other open world games I play, because I'll usually put in like 2 or 3 hours at a time, a couple nights a week. Like, I don't have a ton of game time. What I just said to me sounds like a ton of game time, but for people that, you know, our friends that do Twitch streaming and stuff like that, that's like barely anything.
I feel like that's gotta be a lot for anybody, but okay.
Yeah. So, but it's just cool. It is very cool to be back in playing a Fallout game. It's a very cool setting. I definitely see the appeal over other Fallout games because they definitely, being set in the Vegas area, there's definitely more of a Western vibe, which obviously I really appreciate. I really like the game I played before this. I was replaying Cyberpunk, which came out like 2 or 3 years ago and just had a major update. So going back 14 years, there's some quality life things I wish existed in this game. I wish you could run. That'd be cool.
Listen, sometimes you just can't run. Your wife, DJ.
Yeah, you just can't run, especially in the apocalypse. Like, what are you going to do?
Here's what I love right now, though, DJ, is like, because we did that entire Fallout episode.
Yes.
Which I had already loved the show, but I didn't know anything about the lore.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about right now, which is really cool, which is the only reason I'm excited for today's episode.
Yeah. Well, and what is perfect transition into what are we talking about this week? This week, we're going to be talking about the new Knuckles show. I grew up playing Sega Genesis. I'm a big fan of Knuckles as a character. So theoretically, this show should be up my alley. We're going to explore why that may or may not be the case. That's the main discussion this week. What is my dog doing? She's being a weirdo right now. What are you doing?
No.
What are you doing? Anyway, but first, before we get into all that, little business up top. As always, if you want to check out our Patreon-exclusive shows like What We're Into or Spider-Versity, you can do that over at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. If you're listening on iTunes, please give us a 5-star review. If you're listening on Spotify, every week we ask a question. Last week's question was, what Marvel and DC characters would you like to see Face Off. Sailor Gaines 18 said Wonder Woman versus Thor. Yeshua Wazalewski said, give me a Booster Gold and Guardians of the Galaxy crossover, please, but also a little mini comic of Deadpool and Deathstroke. Roxy, at the end of last week's episode, you suggested for a combination of characters that you would combine Poison Ivy and Black Widow. Do you have an ideal face-off, characters from Marvel and DC that would fight?
It's a really good question. I think that the Wonder Woman Thor one is such a cool.
Yes.
I love that suggestion. Like you, and I think we spoke about it briefly, I'm a fan of taking the two biggest characters and seeing how they handle each other, which to me is Batman and Spider-Man.
Yeah. But
really, I don't know actually if Batman's bigger than Superman, but Batman versus Spider-Man would be so much more interesting than Superman versus Spider-Man. Yeah. So.
This does, we didn't get a lot of chance to talk about it in last week's episode, but it does, when you say they suggest Wonder Woman versus Thor, or you say any DC versus Marvel character, I always feel the DC character would win. And that's not a statement on the quality of Marvel Comics. It's just a different, the DC characters tend to, because Superman's one of them, tend to work on a different scale of powers. Even when you say Batman and Spider-Man, that seems like it should be one-sided to Spider-Man. It's I don't know though. Batman fights Superman regularly.
I don't think it would be Spider-Man. I think it would be Batman, because I think it'd be kind of the equivalent of Iron Man and Spider-Man.
Yeah. And you think Iron Man would beat Spider-Man?
I do. In the MCU.
Yeah, well, yeah, in MCU, because the MCU, Spider-Man's a child.
You just asked me who I want to see fight. You didn't say it had to be in the comic book.
That's true. Well, you didn't, and it doesn't matter. We don't have to dictate who wins. We just have to suggest the fight. Because who wins, the readers win. That's who wins.
Yeah. I think it'd be really fun to see some villain crossovers with some heroes too.
Yeah.
Like you take the only way is to kind of keep the Joker fresh, because we've just seen him so many times. Mm-hmm. Is what if the Joker then becomes Iron Man's villain?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yep. I also wonder if you did Marvel and DC now, if you'd have, because it was pretty much heroes fighting, if you'd throw in a couple of villain fights in there. Like, we don't, in the amalgam, they combine Thanos and Darkseid, because of course, but it's I think now it's wouldn't it be cool to see them fight, though? That'd be cool, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'm always more of a fan of seeing heroes fight villains than villains fight villains.
Okay.
I like to be really rooting for somebody.
Yep. Well, listen, gang, we're all rooting for you at home to enjoy this episode.
Yep.
Thank you.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So this week, we are talking about Knuckles, because our echidna friend has gotten his own streaming show, which is a spinoff of the hit Sonic the Hedgehog movies that have been hitting theaters for the past couple of years. There's a new one. Sonic 3 is coming to theaters, I believe, at the end of this year. This show dropped on Paramount Plus. And Roxy, have you seen any of the Sonic the Hedgehog movies?
I saw the first movie.
Okay.
My experience with Sonic is I saw the first movie. Prior to that, I didn't think that the Sonic design was bad. And before they redid it, And I was the only one I knew who was like, what's wrong with this? And everybody was like, the teeth, the teeth.
Yeah, and you're the only one you knew that was like, I think the original design was better. Bring the teeth back. Bring them back.
Bring back the teeth.
Yeah.
It just didn't bother me. And then I saw the movie and I really liked the movie.
Okay.
I remember really liking it and thinking it was fun. I have no memory of it though, because at this point, the first one was years ago. I mean, that was pre-pandemic.
Was the first one pre-pandemic? It's hard for me to remember all that. Oh, no, I mean, it was. Yeah, because it was, I went, Sam and I went to the screening and his, I think it was brother-in-law and nephews went with us. So yeah, it was pre-pandemic.
So that's 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's a long time for me to remember. I remember just liking Jim Carrey and James Marsden. And I love Ben Schwartz's voice, so those were my those that's the only thing that stuck with me on the movie. I don't remember it. So when we went to go watch this, I was like, is this the same thing? Who are the characters? Is there overlap? And there is overlap, but I don't remember why or what. So I think that they tried to kind of give me a recap in the beginning of the first
episode.
They did.
This franchise loves the, I guess you're wondering how we got here. And it's like, geez, we're still doing this. This is something we still do on TV.
Even though I didn't remember, I wasn't wondering.
Yeah. You're like, I didn't need to know. That's okay. Yeah, well, especially since if you didn't see the second one, the Knuckles show is more of a follow-up to the second movie where we introduce Idris Elba's version of Knuckles, and it is a loose, very loose adaptation. It's Sonic 2, but it's a loose adaptation of Sonic 3, the game, which we're going to be getting into. For me, I did not love the first movie as a Sonic fan. We'll get into that. I liked Sonic 2 more because they did more of the stuff from the games, and they also introduced my favorite character from the franchise, which is Knuckles, and Idris Elba's Knuckles, and he is great as Knuckles, as a fan of the character. I think Idris Elba's takes really cool.
I might have seen this movie, DJ.
Oh, true. Yeah. It is funny, though, that like you're like, yeah, James Marsden. It's like, yeah, you know, as a fan of the games, like those are the worst. The human part is the worst part of the franchise. Yeah, I find
in the game there are humans too.
Eventually, once you get to the Sonic Adventures, we'll get to it. And I know, Roxy, we joke, we like to kid around here about you being a gamer. Have we talked about like why video games haven't really clicked for you? Is it because growing up you were too busy being cool and popular and hanging out with other human beings, or was it never your thing? Is there like a reason why games haven't really been your thing?
Well, number one, definitely not what you just said.
I don't know. It could have been.
No, most of the cool, popular kids played video games. I don't know about where you're from, but for me, like, that was the thing that everybody who was popular did, play video games. You go over to people's house after school and you'd play video games and watch other people play video games.
Popular kids, they were playing sports and kissing girls and stuff. So I wasn't, they weren't, I wasn't running in the circles with the popular kids.
You mean high school?
No, elementary school. No, yeah.
Yeah, no, just growing up, it wasn't like that. My brother was a huge gamer. I would sit and watch him play.
Yeah.
While I was like drawing and doing art things because I loved art.
Yeah.
And I didn't ever really like tabletop games. Mm-hmm. I didn't like my brother and sister's ongoing joke about me, which I think I've mentioned to you, is that Roxy doesn't play games.
Yeah.
I like just didn't ever want to play games. They just were not enjoyable to me. I felt like it felt like a waste of time. It didn't feel like I was learning anything. I liked watching in the background like a TV show.
Okay.
While I did stuff, which is why I wasn't surprised when it became such a big thing to watch people play games.
Gotcha.
I was like, yeah, I did that my whole life. And also, it was very difficult with a brother in the house who monopolized the devices. He was 2 years older than me. There was never a time that I could just be like, let me play. And anytime I wanted to play, he was playing. He was so much better than me. It wasn't fun.
Gotcha.
And also then a little later, it's the most expensive hobby.
Yeah.
Like that is to buy a console
and
then to like keep buying consoles and keep up with them. And then to continue to buy the games. It's not doable if you're a casual gamer.
Yeah.
You can't just like casually buy a $600 PlayStation, you know?
So here's what I got out of that. It's your brother's fault that you never found the joy of gaming. You said, I think you said when we did the Mario episode that one of the games you watched was Mario. Am I remembering right?
Yep. Mortal Kombat, Mario, and Zelda.
Zelda. So I'm going to assume, based off that information, that we're working off of a Nintendo system. Do you have prior? You mentioned the movie. Did your brother ever play Sonic? Did your friends ever play Sonic? Did you have any association with Sonic before the recent movies?
Yeah, I'd seen Sonic a bunch, mostly the fast food chain. I saw Sonic. My brother definitely had played Sonic before, and I had heard of the character. I mean, to me, that's one of the famous characters.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, that's a household name character.
Yeah.
So I wasn't like, what's Sonic? But I had no attachment to him.
Yeah.
At all.
So if I were to ask you Mario or Sonic, you'd probably say Mario.
Mario, for sure.
Gotcha. So for me, when I got into gaming, it was the first system I ever owned was the Sega Genesis. I say I owned. My parents bought it for me. I wasn't pooling my allowance for Sega Genesis. And I got it because it was around the time my sister was born and my parents were like, hey, we're going to be spending a lot of time with the new baby. We don't want our son to feel like we're not paying attention to him. So here's the system. And even though I don't think that would have been a problem, I don't think I would have been like jealous of my sister. I wasn't going to be like, no, I don't need a game system. I loved it. It was great. And so I didn't grow up, and it might have just been my age or whatever, because I didn't have the NES, which was the first Nintendo system. And the Sega Genesis, or as it's known outside of the US, the Mega Drive, dropped in.
That's serious? That's real, what you just said?
Outside of, it's only the Sega Genesis in the United States. Everywhere else, specifically Japan, it's known as the Mega Drive.
Why?
Just different branding and different, they do their market testing and they're like, this will do better in the United States.
Not a legality thing, not different rights.
I think the NES was known as the Famicom in Japan, but in here it's the Famicom.
Famicom,
which I think is a portmanteau of family computer, maybe. I don't know. I did research for Sonic, gang. I didn't do research for Nintendo one. But there's no one as Famicom, but in the United States, it's the Nintendo Entertainment System or the NES. Similar in Japan, the Genesis is known as the Mega Drive. In the United States, it's known as the Genesis. And it first dropped in North America in 1989. And so this was right after the NES revolutionized home video gaming, but right before the Super Nintendo came out. So I guess this is the moment my parents are buying the system and they bought me the Genesis. I think the reason they gave at the time was it had more games. And it's also
Did that change the trajectory of your entire gaming career?
I mean, for me, it did. I knew some people that owned both systems, usually people with divorced parents. And so they were both getting them different things. But for me, and I think this is true for a lot of people, that kind of dictates your allegiance. So because I had a Genesis, Sonic's my guy. But if you had a Nintendo, Mario would be your guy. That's the one you grew up with. And I think now...
Sonic as famous as Mario?
No, absolutely not. I think he is up there. Like when you say he's one of the famous characters.
Yeah.
Absolutely he would be. But I would argue Mario far surpasses him in as far as fame goes. To me, the comparison is... I feel like an apt comparison is comparing Mickey Mouse to Bugs Bunny. You know, is Mickey Mouse more famous than Bugs? Yeah, I feel like kind of inarguably, probably. That doesn't make Bugs not famous. It's just Mickey Mouse is Mickey Mouse. He's all over. He's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, this kind of changes. And when you talk about systems, I think that's a big thing for people that can't afford both systems. You know, you're kind of picking the lane or the core games you're going to be playing. This is a little less
true. I'm not wrong in thinking it was hundreds of dollars, right? For a system.
I don't remember what it was back at this time, but you're definitely right that it's not as expensive as it is now because of inflation, but it was definitely hundreds of dollars. It was definitely expensive. I wonder how much games were then, because pretty much most of the time, my adult life, when I'm the one buying the games, they're like 50 to 60 bucks. I think some might even be 70 now. But they couldn't have been that at the time.
I feel like they were like 25 at the time. I remember going to GameStop every single week with my brother. every single week in the summers. We would go to the mall. And do you know what GameStop is? Is that everywhere?
Yeah.
We would go to GameStop. Everybody got to pick the stores that they wanted to go to. I wanted to go to Joann Fabrics. He wanted to go to GameStop. And we would go in, and he couldn't always get something, but he could always look, and he would spend an hour in there. Just like looking.
Yeah.
And preparing what he wanted as his next future purchase. And I kind of remember it being about $25 because I remember being allowed to spend $25 on fabric. So that must have been something that must have been even.
Yeah, I'm glad you have that point of reference because I don't even remember. Let me in the chat or in the comments, let us know if you know the original retail price for Sega Genesis games because I don't remember. It couldn't have been. I can't imagine it could have been much more than 25 because I feel like it's something I saved allowance for to get. And so like $50, that's off the table.
I know quickly, just curious, DJ, did you have a main job that you needed to get for allowance? Did you have a main task?
I had mowing the lawn. I had a few house chores that were how I earned allowance. Was that your system as well?
Yeah, everybody, we split between the siblings what your tasks were. Some people got worse tasks than others.
It was mowing the lawn was the main one I remember, but various house chores, you know, is how you earn your allowance. In the Super NES releases in 1991, so that's probably what my parents were looking at. The NES, the Super NES just came out, so the Sega Genesis had more games at the time. The Sega Genesis struggled in Japan, but found a greater success in the U.S. due in part to leaning into the 90s extreme cool factor marketing, and Sonic was a big part of that. Like, Sonic was positioned as the cool kid's counterpart to Mario. He's faster, the gameplay moves faster, he has attitude, and this goes back to my Mickey Mouse, Bugs Bunny comparison, in that, like, Mario is more popular, but I would argue Sonic has more personality.
Who were any of the other Sega characters?
So Sega didn't, that's the something I, even as a Sonic fan, I will concede. Nintendo has always been better at making games. So when you look at Nintendo, you have such iconic characters as Mario and Link and Zelda and Donkey Kong and Star Fox. You're not getting that with Peach. You're not getting that with Sega. You've got Sonic's stable of characters, and I don't even know some of the ones I'm going to list. I know they were Genesis exclusive games. I don't know if they're Sega exclusive if they're Sega developed characters. But I remember playing Vector Man. That was a big one. I want to say Echo the Dolphin was a Genesis exclusive. Maybe that wasn't. Maybe it's just because I had a Genesis game. I think Sega's big thing, and again, this goes back to they very specifically targeted American audiences. And so I think one of their big things was porting arcade games. So I think Mortal Kombat came to the Genesis first before it came to Nintendo. And Sonic stuff.
Sonic was the biggest Sega thing.
Yeah. So the original Sonic the Hedgehog game was actually packaged with Genesis consoles. So when you bought a Genesis, you got Sonic 1, and it was huge for the system. And it was a huge success for the system, which has helped establish it in the United States, and also helped establish Sonic as the IP that he is now. Because Sega doesn't make systems anymore, but Sonic is still their like main cash cow.
Cool.
So Sonic was created with American audiences in mind. This was interesting for me to find out. There's even stories that his personality was based on the, quote, can-do attitude of Mr. Bill Clinton back when he was still a senator in Arkansas. I didn't research any further than that. I saw that. I put it in my notes. I'm like, I don't have time to go down this rabbit hole to verify it, to understand what that means.
Does Sonic have Bill Clinton vibes?
Make that
the question of the week, please, DJ.
Yeah, does Sonic feel like Bill Clinton to you? And it's just one of those, like, even when it was before he was president, even when he was senator, people were basing, you know, whatever, man. Because I was a kid at this time. Bill Clinton didn't enter my radar until he was president, all right?
Yeah, makes sense to me. And even then, I don't know if he screamed Sonic to you.
Yeah. I was going to make some joke, blue dress, but it's not coming to me. So I'm just going to keep going. Here's the thing though, gang, we're not here to talk about Sonic. All right. We're here to talk about my boy, Knuckles the Echidna. And for point of reference, I would like to point out, this is what a real echidna looks like.
So is Sonic a different animal than Knuckles?
Sonic is a hedgehog.
They look the same.
They both spiny boys. An echidna has that little beak, anteater nose. And also,
an echidna is not a type of hedgehog.
No. To the degree, I'm going to confirm this before I make myself look like a fool on our show. So echidnas are a mammal. Hold on here. The diet of some species consists of ants and termites, but they are not closely related to the American true anteater or to hedgehogs. Their young are called puggles. They're actually descending from the platypus-like monotreme. And I want to say, what was I looking up? Yeah, they lay eggs. They're mammals that lay eggs. Which it makes sense because they're related to the same ancestor as platypuses. So no.
The more you know.
The more you know. But anyway, so that's what Knuckles is. And I think you're right, Roxy. They clearly chose an echidna because it is, you know, it's another spiny little mammal like a hedgehog. So that's part of the thing. And Knuckles first appears in Sonic 3. Which was released in 1994.
Remember him?
Yeah, I do. I played... So there was two games that came out the same year, Sonic 3 and Sonic & Knuckles. And I remember renting... Again, budget is limited. I got to mow a certain amount of lawn to get my allowance, all right? So I didn't own Sonic 3. I rented it from Blockbuster, you know, back in the day when that was a thing. But I owned Sonic & Knuckles. And for those that are not familiar, here's Knuckles' deal. He's the last of his kind and tasked with protecting the Master Emerald, which is connected to the franchise's main series of MacGuffins, the Chaos Emeralds. In Sonic 3, he's tricked by Robotnik into thinking the Sonic's after the Master Emerald. And so even though it's Robotnik that's after the Master Emerald, so he's fighting Sonic until he realizes Robotnik's the real bad guy, and he and Sonic need to team up. If you saw Sonic 2, it's basically the same plot as that. And also, if you've seen any type of media in the past 20 to 30 years, you guys get the gist.
Okay.
Yeah. So, where Sonic is all about speed and being snarky, Knuckles is more brooding, and in later games, they emphasize his strength over speed, even in gameplay.
Is he supposed to be goofy, DJ, or no? Like, are you supposed to be laughing at him, or no?
I would say no. No more than any, like, because he's so serious, he can kind of tend to be the straight man to Sonic. Right. You know what I mean? And they do make a point of, you know, his first appearance, he's tricked by Robotnik. So he's kind of, like, naive and gullible sometimes, even though he's all about honor and stuff like that. But I don't think he's supposed to be an overtly comic character. Does that answer the question?
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Why do you ask? Is that what you felt like when you watched the Knuckles show?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to get to the Knuckles show, gang. We're going to get to the Knuckles show.
I was just curious what his personality was like in the games because I wanted to know, like, when you were playing, was he a blast? Was he, like, not
fun? In these early games, there's not – like the Mario games, I would say the Sonic games have more of a narrative and the character has more personality. But there's not, like, any dialogue. There's not any – so it's mostly just these characters' actions. And so you'll see, you know, Sonic be thwarted by Knuckles or maybe Knuckles will be a mini boss fight partway through the game. Okay. So, but they're not, like, cracking jokes. Did you watch Parks and Rec? Yeah, love Parks and Rec.
Is he like Ron Swanson?
They've leaned into that more, but there's definitely, yes, there's definitely okay. Like Sonic is more the chipper, upbeat, happier one, and Knuckles is the more serious one, which creates a nice little buddy dynamic.
Okay.
Apparently, so back to Sonic 3, apparently due to technological limitations with the game and with the cartridge, the game cartridge, and time constraints, Sonic 3 was split into two games that were released in the same year. So we talked about Sonic 3, and I mentioned that I bought the other game, which was Sonic & Knuckles, and this was the first time you got to play as Knuckles in a game.
That logo looked cool.
I love this logo. I've been trying to find a shirt with this logo because this game, I played the original, when I got the Genesis, I played the original Sonic 1, but this game, Sonic & Knuckles, like, meant a lot to me as a kid. I was, so this is what, 94, so I'm a little bit older. And it really struck a chord with me. And this is probably where my love for Knuckles began. Because like I said, this is the first time you get to play him. And not just that, the cartridge had a cool feature where you could pop it open, the top open, and plug in a separate cartridge. So you could go back and play Knuckles in Sonic 3 and in Sonic 2. Play all the same levels, but as Knuckles.
Okay.
And Knuckles had a little bit of a different game mechanic in that he could glide. I think that was it, but also, like, you know,
was that all at that time? Was it often that you could change characters?
This was something that, I mean, you know, you go all the way back to Super Mario, you could be Mario or Luigi, but their technology is getting a little bit more robust. So this was the first game in the Sonic franchise that you could save your progress instead of having to play it all the way through. And this was the first time, in the Sonic game.
What do you mean play all the way through?
That you'd have, if I was playing Sonic 2, there's no save feature. So if I want to beat the game, I have to beat it in one sitting.
How many hours?
I don't know. Not that long. I want to say a couple maybe. Yeah. You can stop at any time, but then next time you play, you have to start from the very beginning.
That's wild.
Yeah. And so playing Sonic 3, it's like, oh my God, there's a save feature. This is incredible. This is incredible. So yeah, Sonic and Knuckles is huge for me. And like I said, I remember renting Sonic 3 as a kid, but Sonic and Knuckles is the one I owned. And that pop in, I don't know any other game that had this feature where you could pop the top open and plug in another game. So that was cool. It's one of the things I miss about cartridges is little gimmicks like that. Another interesting thing is in Sonic 3, apparently Michael Jackson composed portions of the Sonic 3 soundtrack, but left the project, and it's unclear how much of his work remains in the final version. This was another thing I read, like the Bill Clinton thing, that I was like, I'm going to put that in my notes, but I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole of what that means. Michael Jackson composed the Sonic 3 soundtrack.
These are like fun facts unless you dive into them, and then they might not become fun facts.
They might not be fun. Yeah, so you're like, you know, let's just leave it what it is. But it does paint Sonic very much as an artifact of the 90s. We've got Bill Clinton. We've got Michael Jackson. We've got...
Yeah, totally.
We got it. All right, the 90s. Uh-huh, totally. So Knuckles became one of the franchise's most popular characters, even to the degree that he headlined his own game, Knuckles Chaonix, for the Sega 32X, which I'm not going to get into. Sega was trying all sorts of different types of systems, and none of them really worked for them, which is why they don't make systems anymore. I also want to point out Sonic and Knuckles was my gateway into the Sonic comics that were being published by Archie Comics at the time. I found this, if you're watching the video on the screen, there's the cover for the Sonic and Knuckles comic. I found this at a bookstore that's no longer in business, like most bookstores are. But and this started me collecting more Sonic comics. And this tie-in, this was a Sonic and Knuckles tie-in. And Knuckles even had his own spin-off comic from that series for a while. And they were very cool. And even though I was collecting comics at the time, or not, no, I shouldn't say that. I wasn't collecting comics at the time. I would pick up comics from time to time when I saw them. I think the first series I regularly collected was the Sonic comics. And I still have them all. All the ones
I have.
Was
this the same time period that I was reading Betty and Veronica?
What time period? What? So this would be mid-90s, so like 94, maybe. Yeah. Cool. So yeah.
That's Archie Comics also. So they're...
Yep. So obviously Archie Comics is known for Archie. But they also, at the time, they were doing the Sonic comics, and they were doing, I want to say they were doing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And now those have gone off to different brands. And Archie's been experimenting with different, you know, they'll do Archie horror comics and stuff like that. Which, of course, opened the door for them doing what ended up being Riverdale. So for me...
Which was so good until...
Until... Dude, I was reading about some... Did you watch the entire run?
I did.
It sounded like it really went off the rails hard in later seasons.
Yeah, I mean, it just was full-blown supernatural. It was wild.
Yeah, I looked at a review and it's like, time travel and superpower. What is going on? What are they doing over there? Mm-hmm. So for me, Knuckles had a lot going for him as a character. First off, I got to point out, he's red. Red's my favorite color. That probably endeared him to me. And I'd like to think my love of things, especially as a kid, was more complex than that, but I'm not sure it was. My favorite Ninja Turtle is Raphael. He's red. My favorite Power
Ranger. Red is your favorite. Was your favorite or is your favorite?
Is my favorite still. Color. Red. Red is my favorite color.
I never would have guessed that, DJ.
What would have been your guess?
I think you're a green boy.
Really? Really? No, yeah. Red's my jam.
You're like such a blue or green boy.
Thank you. I'm gonna say thank you. I don't know what that means, but I think that's a positive thing. No, but I'm a red boy, and like I said, I'd like to think that, like, you know, my love of characters is more complicated than that, but like, I love Raphael and the Ninja Turtles. I love the Red Power Ranger. He was my favorite until they introduced Tommy. But I also tend to gravitate towards, you know, serious tough guy over like snarky joke guy. So for me, Knuckles is my favorite in the Sonic franchise. And so when they introduced him in the Sonic 2 movie, he was my favorite part of the movie. I think Idris Elba did a good job. And then they announced he was getting his own show. I'm going to be honest, I knew not to get excited because I'd seen the movies. And while I think Sonic 2 is better than Sonic 1, there's a huge subplot in Sonic 2 about James Marsden's sister-in-law getting married. That it's like, why are we doing this? Who is this for?
Well, to that note, were people clamoring for Knuckles content? Like, was that something that was being asked? I know you didn't want to get too excited, but were you like, I could see a world in which there could be a Knuckles show that's good?
Oh, 100%. Especially one that leaned into the games more than the movies do. Because I think the best parts of Sonic 2 are you're dealing with the rivalry of Sonic and Knuckles, which is from the games. They're trying to get the Master Emerald. That's from the games. We see Supersonic stuff from the games. Every time they did game stuff, you know, it taps into the nostalgia part of your brain. And so I could definitely see a world that where they make a show that leans into that more, that people would be excited to see. And I think this show is being relatively well received on Rotten Tomatoes. It has a 72%. As opposed to Sonic the Hedgehog 2, which has, as of this recording, a 69%. So it's being, you know, this show is being better received than the movies. I think right when I was first writing this episode, it was 80%. So it's dipped a little bit since then. I will say the successful version of the Knuckles show that I could see, like, being really good isn't what we got, because I would kind of argue that it's not even really a Knuckles show. It's a Wade Whipple show. And if you haven't
what's
seen
what's that mean?
It means Wade Whipple is the cop character that Knuckles.
Yeah, but what do you mean it's a Wade Whipple show? Is
it's
that like
about
in the
him? It's about
games?
No, it's oh. Wade is a comic side character in the movies that in if for people that haven't watching the show, Knuckles is tasked with training him for his big bowling match in Reno, and the character arc is Wade's. All the plot mechanics revolve around Wade. It's a Wade show. And so I'm disappointed because I don't care about Wade. I think the human stuff in this show, in the movies is like the worst stuff. So like building a show around that, it makes sense from a production standpoint, because I got to imagine Knuckles and his pals aren't cheap. To, you know, we saw the budget of She-Hulk. I would imagine Knuckles and his pals aren't the cheapest. So you're going to build it around the human characters, which are actors you hire and you don't have to construct in computers.
But I think the most difficult part about She-Hulk is the hulking out transition.
Yeah. And you don't have that with Knuckles.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think this brings me to what I think the big question of the episode is. We're going to talk about the Knuckles show now. But it is a question I've been wondering with IP adaptations like this is who should these shows be for? Who should they be targeting?
This was very clearly for kids. Yes. Is that what makes you?
Yeah, very clearly young little baby children, which is fine. Which is fine. But they're clearly tapping into people like me who grew up with the franchise. And I wonder how this falls on the continuum with something like X-Men 97, which is doing a reverse that I also don't love, which is we're going to bring back that thing from the 90s, but very specifically target the 30 and 40 year olds that are watching it. So it's a kid show targeted at adults, which feels off to me. I know.
But if you're a kid, you wouldn't know that.
Yeah. And I don't. And for me, I get a lot of, Roxy, I know you're not watching the X-Men 97 show, which makes this feel like a safe space that I can talk about it, because everybody else in our circle seems to love the show.
Love it. People are loving it.
I know. There's a lot of reasons why I don't love X-Men 97, but the one I feel comfortable articulating is, like I said, it feels like a show that is specifically, a kid's show that is specifically targeting adults. So it feels infantilizing to me. It feels like the show's talking down to me, as opposed to something like Avatar The Last Airbender or Batman The Animated Series, or I mentioned last year, My Adventures with Superman or TMNT Mutant Mayhem, which are kids' movies and shows that are complex enough to speak to adults, but the target audience isn't adults. It is supposed to be a younger audience, but it's accessible enough to adults, as opposed to we're targeting adults, but we're going to talk to them like children. It feels infantilizing to me, and I feel like I'm being talked down to, and I don't like it. But we're not talking about X-Men 97. I just feel like it's an interesting contrast to Knuckles, which is like very clearly like this is for kids. We're not even really going to bother speaking to adults. This is for children.
How I felt when I was watching it was, if I was a kid, I think I would think that moment was funny. You know, like starting with things like the car parts, like, we don't have a car because the throne ends up using the car. Like my first thought is my adult thought, which is like, I will kill you. You broke my car to make your throne. I will bury you.
Yeah.
And she, credit to that actress, clearly knows what show she's in. It's like, okay, anyway, moving on.
It's more like, wah, wah, oh, Knuckles.
And as a kid, I think I would have been laughing at that. I think I would have been like, that's hysterical. But as an adult, I'm like, that's $30,000 that person. Oh, my God. That's a horrible thing to do. And like, just there's so many moments like that, especially with the adult characters, Wade and the girl that they're living with. What's her name?
I don't have in front of me.
Yeah, but you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Where it's just like they have to be like, oh, those little rascals. And it's like, no. Mm-hmm. So much more than that.
Yeah, this is definitely living somewhere within either cartoon logic or old sitcom logic where money is not a...
The thing.
Money is second to shenanigans. You know, we'll figure out the money. Here are the shenanigans.
Right. So I feel like, but me watching this, this is the kind of thing that you would put on with your nieces and nephews and be like, it's tolerable.
Yeah.
You know, like if this is what you guys want to watch, I can definitely tolerate this, but I would never put it on. Like, this isn't the kind of thing that I think you're clamoring to show your kid, DJ. It's not like, oh my God, Knuckles, this was like the jam. Because it's not that good. But I do see what they were going for.
Do you think it's one of those things? And I don't necessarily mean to bash this show. And I will say, for a while I was like, how does it, because again, when I was writing this episode, I had like an 80% Rotten Tomatoes. I'm like, how? Man, how? And so for this show, I kept watching, and I there's 6 episodes. I've watched 4 of them, and I've gotten to the episode that is everybody's favorite, which is the 4th episode, which they tell, that's what this image is from, which is Wade in a Knuckles costume.
When you put that up, I was like, I do not remember that.
No. This is from episode 4, and they tell part of Knuckles' backstory in the form of a rock opera. And it is genuinely pretty funny. It's very, like the rest of the show, it's pretty shallow. Like Knuckles' backstory is he fought a monster and he learned through the power of his heart that his strength came from the inside and he overcame the monster. I'm like, whatever. And especially when you have decades worth of video games and comics to pull from, it's like, that's the story. You couldn't pull one story from the games to enact in this way, but doing it in the method of a rock opera is genuinely pretty funny, and the way they do it's pretty creative. So as a spectacle, it's like, this episode, even as an adult, it's kind of fucking entertaining. Beyond that, everything feels, but even in that, like I described it, everything feels very like two-dimensional. Is there a version of this exact show? Like for me as a fan, I'd want to retool it. I'd give me more game characters, give me a different premise, like redo the whole thing. Forget all that. This show, Knuckles is training Wade. Maybe if the jokes were tighter, maybe if there was a little bit more, is there a version of it that could still be for young audiences, but be better than tolerable for you and I?
I think yes, right?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
That's your whole question. Just yeah. Is there that, could that version exist? I think that we have to believe as creators, DJ, that version could exist of any property, depending on who's part of it, right?
Yeah. Let me rephrase it then. What do you think they could do to make you and engage you more?
I don't know that should be their goal.
Okay.
Like that wouldn't be my pitch. I actually think that they made a really like a funny kid show. There's no, to me, and I only watched the first one.
Yeah.
There's no lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no like big takeaways.
Yeah.
It's not informative or educational anyway. It's just like, but I'm shh.
Yeah.
And so it's like in a world where when we grew up, there were kids who loved Barney and kids who loved Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm.
And parents hoped that you had a kid that liked Sesame Street because there was lessons learned, like about how to deal with other kids and whatever.
Yeah.
This is Barney.
Yeah. I would think the coming from the stuff I grew up with, yeah, because you make a good point. Like this is closer to like G.I. Joe or Transformers where like, hey, some stuff blows up. And some people fight, the end. Like we're not trying to impart wisdom to you. We're not trying to relay like up beyond friendship is good. Family is good. Follow your heart. Beyond that, that's the most boilerplate basic stuff. That's what you're getting.
I definitely only got some of that from the first one.
Yeah.
Follow your heart was not really like the way that we ended up on our road trip was so convoluted to me. But. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Listen, yeah. Wade's got to beat that 6-year-old girl at bowling.
You tell me, DJ, because you're the super fan of the video games. Is there any choice that they could have made here while still speaking to the kids that would have spoke to you more?
Well, I think for me, I think you'd be in a better place. I kind of think this whole live action Sonic scheme is misguided. Creatively, obviously it seems like this franchise is doing well for them, so it's like, who am I to say? Like
financially it is,
yeah, they seem to be doing great. So
hey, look, how did the movies make a boatload?
I don't know that they made a boatload, but you know, they're doing well.
Okay.
They're not competing with like Endgame or whatever, but you know, they seem to be doing well enough. So who am I to say whatever? I just know that like for me as a longtime fan of the franchise, they're hard to get through. And so for me right off the bat, and I don't know what this would look like budget wise, but I think you're introduced to the two henchmen people in the first episode, which is Kid Cudi and the other lady, and get rid of them. And I would introduce, there's such a deep bench of Sonic characters, pick one or two of them and have them be the bad guys that you're dealing with. So at least. As a fan, I can be like, oh, they did Fang the Hunter, or they did, you know what I mean? Like, at least I get that little like ping of like, you know what? I don't care about Knuckles training Wade. In fact, that seems to be the worst plot line you could choose for this show, but at least Knuckles is fighting a character I recognize from the games and I'm getting that out of it. Like,
if you were 10, would this work for you?
Would it work for me? Maybe. I would say like even the jokes are so, I would say 6, yes. 10, probably not. Because especially, you know, with some of the stuff that the options you have, you know, I think about the options I had with like Batman the Animated Series and stuff like that. They're doing stuff that's a little bit more complicated, you know, and you have that, you have those options. But when it comes to like you mentioned that you think they're kind of doing, they're accomplishing what they're setting out to do.
I do. Yeah.
We live, we're in a time that's very IP focused. We're big in IP. And so mm-hmm. I do wonder, am I being too stuck in my ways or too picky? And it's like, maybe there isn't really a wrong way to do this IP stuff. Maybe the way X-Men 97 is doing it is perfectly fine. And the way Knuckles is doing it is perfectly fine.
On that note though, DJ, so I just looked it up and these movies do well in the box office. The first one, the first box office was $306 million. Mm-hmm. The second was $405 million.
Dude, and that's post-pandemic. That's crazy.
It is. However, Super Mario Bros. Made $1.36 billion.
Well, and that's to the point Mario's more successful.
But that's, well, let me keep going with my point though for a second. Because I know from the other day when I was looking it up, I have never seen the Despicable Me movies.
Yeah.
But the last three of them all broke a billion as well.
You're kidding me. No wonder those minions are everywhere. I didn't know they were making that much money.
I had no idea either. Have you ever seen those movies?
No, not one.
Yeah. Okay. So they absolutely annihilated the box office. The fourth one is coming out this summer. I think it's the only thing that has a shot to beat Deadpool, Wolverine box office wise, legitimately. Cause it's like those movies are just annihilating. So while $300 million for Sonic is good for kids movies now, a lot of them really, really slam dunk. And I wonder if these would be slam dunking more. It's hard to say because you and I both haven't seen Despicable Me.
Yeah.
But I know my friends who have taken their kids like it.
Yeah.
And like find things in it for themselves. I wonder if these movies don't do better because they aren't really four quadrant films. They're just for kids.
Yeah, maybe. You're saying your friends like the Despicable Me movies. So maybe they do.
And here's, I don't know because I haven't seen it, but they seem, I think it's not, I'm not sure.
And here's what I find discouraging, because when you bring up Mario, I also think the Mario movie is quite bad. And so I look at something that I have seen that I think is good, that I think is a good example of what you could do with these IPs, which is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. And that only made $180 million. Oh. So that bums me out. That bums me out that our bar of success is like the Despicable Me's. And it's like, really?
And that was geared towards kids. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
It was targeted kids, but as an adult, I thought it was really good and really it was in the same vein as something like the Spider-Verse movies, where it's like,
friends liked it.
Yeah, this is something targeted, like the Spider-Verse movies are targeted at a younger audience, but it's accessible enough and smart enough. I don't want to use the word mature because that means different things to different people, but smart enough and it's canny enough in its storytelling that somebody like you and I can watch it and be like, wow, that was one of my favorite movies this year. Even though I think it's safe to say that we're not necessarily the target audience. I am a big supporter of making stuff all ages. It's such an interesting trick with me. Pixar has made a whole industry out of it. It seems really tricky.
That's the other movie that's coming out this summer is Inside Out 2.
Yep.
And you know me, DJ. Animation is not typically my go-to genre.
Yeah.
But Inside Out is like one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah.
And this is my most anticipated. I'm so excited for Inside Out 2. And you're right. They've made an entire company on films for everybody. And really, I feel like Inside Out was as much for me and you as it was for the kids.
Yeah.
Learning these life lessons. But that's the learning part. Knuckles didn't seem to be trying to give you huge takeaway. It seemed to be trying to make you giggle.
And that
might be good enough. I don't know.
You know what? I think you're right. I think maybe you're right. I think maybe my frustration is with the disposability of it.
Yeah.
But there's not necessarily something wrong with something that's just designed to entertain a specific demographic. I guess as a fan of the character, it would be nice to have more. It would be nice that there was something for me to take out of it without it. Because again, I don't necessarily want it to be speaking directly to me. That doesn't make sense. I fell in love with the character when I was a kid. I would like other kids to be able to fall in love with it. But it'd be nice if there was something here as a fan of the character that I could take out of it beyond I like Idris Elba as the character. I think he's doing a good job. I think they nailed what I like about the character. He's just in a context that I don't care about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I hear you.
No.
I do. I think that he does make things tolerable for me because I always know it's him in the back. Like, I know he's there, but it sucks when something matters to somebody else. Like, this isn't going to disappoint me as much as it disappoints you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I feel for you, but I don't.
It makes me reminiscent of or feel nostalgic for. There was two Sonic animated series when I was a kid. And one of them, which is dubbed by fans as Sonic Saturday Morning Animated Series, was really good. And it was a little bit darker. And in defense of the show being darker, the Sonic premise is kind of dark. The plot of the games is Robotnik is kidnapping Sonic's friends and turning them into robots. Like, that's from the first game. So that's kind of dark. And so the show leans into that. And even though, again, targeted kids, meant for kids, dealing with some ideas and thoughts that are a little bit more complex, a little bit darker, and it's something that stuck with me. And I do think we're in an age of media where the Netflixes of the world and stuff like that are trying to make media as disposable as possible. I think that's why they convinced themselves they can do the whole AI art thing. It's like, well, we've been trying to make stuff that you watch in the background and then forget about immediately. My issue with that is that's not the stuff that sticks with you. The reason of the two Sonic cartoons that came out at the same time, the darker one sat with me more is because, like you were talking about, there's stuff you took away from it. I did not. My sister was the one watching Barney, so I don't remember Barney. And I know people are nostalgic for Barney, but I would imagine the kids that watch Sesame Street probably have a deeper connection to it because they got things out of it. It gave something to them beyond just being cotton candy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the parents.
Yeah.
It taught me sing a song, which is in sign language. This is how you do it.
Yeah.
And I remember that from being a child.
Yeah.
That's so bizarro that that's a core memory of mine from that. But different things that like just stick with you.
But I guess that stuff takes more effort. Like it's, you know, mm-hmm. the if everybody could be a Pixar, everybody would be a Pixar.
But yeah, I guess. But also like to be 100% like just to keep it real. Yeah. I preferred Barney to Sesame Street as a kid.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Because I just wanted to giggle.
And to your point, like, you know, I was watching Transformers and G.I. Joe as a kid. Like, that was I wasn't even watching Barney or Sesame Street. I was just watching cartoon violence. So, you know, I think it's one of those, what I'm going to take out of this, if there's a lesson to be learned, if we're going to teach you kids a lesson at home, not everything needs to be for everybody. If there's a whole new generation of fans that are going to fall in love with Knuckles because of this, good for them. I will say in later episodes, they introduce Edie Patterson as Wade's sister. And that actress is so fucking funny that, you know, she can elevate pretty much anything. So there's not nothing to get out of these. The Rock Opera episode's good. So I'm going to let it be. We're going to end with a couple questions from the audience. Leonard Kim, do you think it was a good choice to cater, this is what we're talking about, Knuckles more for the younger demographic? I enjoyed the show, but I thought the show could have been a bit more mature. And I think what we're leaning is, yeah, we would have liked that, but that doesn't necessarily make this wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that hurt you to say.
It hurts me to say, because I don't know that I believe it, but I will try and take that lesson. Boiler Huff, would the series have been better served as being a movie instead? What do you think about this, Roxy, as the TV expert?
I only saw the first.
But did it compel you enough? Were you like, this is enough juice to make a show out of?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I also think if they'd made it a movie, again, maybe we could have gotten more of the game characters in there. And that would have made me, they would have made at least made it tolerable for me. More tolerable.
I'm sorry, DJ.
It's okay. It's okay, but I'm glad we could at least impart a lesson to the kids at home. Roxy, where can the kids find what you're working on?
Everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
You can find me at DJ Talks Trash. You can find the show everywhere that matters at Only Stupid Answers, but on Twitter/X.
Yank out the vowels from stupid.
And we'll see y'all next time. Bye, everybody.